When you heard God said that she needs masses, was there a sense of how many, or did you know how many to offer?
I offered 3 masses for her, but I do sense that she might need more. That's something that's in my heart now. Yeah. There's a documentary that just came out on her. It's pretty strong. It's not very Catholic friendly. We could say it's on Netflix, but it does. You could see how she suffered, and I kind of feel that it's a grace that came out of purgatory, this documentary that just came out about 2 months ago. And I feel it's kind of like this act of reparation for what she's done, because it really destroyed, people were very upset about this because it's very, very pro-life. There's a very strong pro-life message, the suffering of her abortions, the post-abortion syndrome that she suffered. And it kind of destroys that goddess glamour persona that yeah. people had about her. And I think that it's, that I kind of think that's a good thing, because it shows what she went through and it shows her humanity. But
yeah, I watched a documentary because I wanted to see just get a sense of who she was. And you're right, it's like her life unfiltered. So definitely people that watch it know that there's a lot of, I mean, even the rating just suggests that. But if you look at it kind of through the lens of this is really what her life was like, and the way that it's depicted, it's so sad. To be honest, I watched half of it and I just thought, I can't take it. It's just too tragic, and especially when you see her face in pictures and she's just so beautiful. And it's just this sense of like that she was so beautiful, and they just used her. They used her for whatever they could get out of her. And then she ended up where she ended, But I think it's good to see that, because it takes away that glamour that sometimes we give to people that, oh, they just have this amazing life. But the truth is, they're really suffering behind the scenes.
And I believe there's also special days where if you pray the rosary for these souls as well. I think it's, isn't it Christmas? And it's the day of the Assumption of Our Lady,
yeah.
where you pray the Holy Rosary and more souls are liberated. So my husband and my family and I, we pray the rosary every single day, but especially on these special days where I know that Our Lady has, in a couple of places where she's appeared, she has mentioned that these certain days, more souls are liberated from purgatory. And I know that she goes down into purgatory and she comforts these souls, Saint Michael the Archangel as well. And just to encourage people to offer masses for your loved one, for your friends, even for strangers, for these people that are forgotten, maybe that have been in Hollywood, and also the Christmas day and the day of the Assumption are days that are very dear to souls in purgatory, and we can help them.
Yeah, I remember I was sharing with you earlier that my channel really kind of got started on a novena that I did, and it might've been to the souls in purgatory, but that it ended on Christmas. So it was either to the souls in purgatory or when it ended on Christmas, the video that God, I think, just had mercy. And because the only other people that were watching my videos were my mom and my wife and, and maybe me, I don't even know if I was watching my own videos. And he took the purgatory videos, and those were the ones that went viral for me, on Christmas. Even though when I started my channel, I thought I was going to be doing videos about the Blessed Mother, God just directed it to these videos about purgatory. So it's been, so that's such a blessed day for them. So all of us to remember, especially going into Advent, make that novena for the souls in purgatory, either, for your family members or for someone like Marilyn Monroe or someone else that you loved, for, some gift that they had in Hollywood, an actor or a musician.
Right. And we shouldn't be scared also, because I personally haven't shared this experience with many people. I felt call to share it on your channel. There was one book that I read about 2 nuns. They're French nuns. One of them actually died and went to purgatory. And the other one was praying for the one that was in purgatory. The nun that was in purgatory actually appeared. She had permission from God to ask for her other friend that was a nun to pray for her and to help her get out of purgatory. And what was revealed in these conversations was, even if the soul is suffering in the depths of purgatory in the worst level, they prefer not to come back to earth, because they know that at least they're not offending God anymore in purgatory, and they're actually happy to be there. Yeah. So we shouldn't fear even the lowest level, the level that's suffering the most, because these souls are happy to be there. They're happy that they can no longer offend God, and they know that eventually one day they'll make it into heaven. And that is such I mean, purgatory, we shouldn't be scared. It's such a merciful promise. It is an act, a great act of God's mercy for us.
Yeah, I think it takes a while at first to kind of blend in our mind the idea that there's intense suffering, but that it's a good place, that it's a place of mercy. And I really think it's just that reality of they know where they're going. And we, even though we're in the illusion of comfort and it feels good right now, and whatever, you're sitting in your lazy boy chair, whatever you are, that it's just so comfortable. But the reality is you don't know where you're going. You could commit a mortal sin in the next 30 minutes and die right after and go to hell for all eternity. So we're really living in this unknown, whereas despite their suffering, they know that suffering is leading them to heaven.
And just the consolation, when we have that devotion to the souls in purgatory, where we're constantly just offering everything for them, the consolation that if one of those souls made it to heaven, well, you have a friend, like you have a partner praying for you until you make it there. That is the church. We're one body and we're community and we're family. And that's what we should be doing for each other. And it's just such a consolation to know, hey, maybe one soul actually made it to heaven by my, you know, sacrifices and my prayers. Yeah. And you know, that soul can pray for me and plead for mercy for my soul, you know, yeah. And help me get there too. So that is just, I think that's just so beautiful that we can be community with these holy souls that are no longer with us. And they're going to also try to help us get to heaven. I think that's beautiful.
Do you ever wonder where Marilyn is now? Like after, how many years ago was the dream? Was it 15 years ago?
15 years ago. I've been praying for her for 15 years. And obviously, like I said, she's old and it seems like she's getting a little bit more popular now. So I constantly just see her, but I wonder, and I ask God to if he wishes, right? When we pray to God, you know, the scripture says, blessed are those who believe and do not see, right? I don't ask for anything, you know, mystical. If God wants to give me something, he gives it to me or not. But I do wonder where she is. At least I know that she is in God's mercy. If she is still in purgatory, if she's still in heaven, I know that she's in God's mercy, but I still pray for her.
I really like how you make that connection with you praying for her for 15 years, your personal history, and then the way in which that documentary was made, almost like as if she was wanting to kind of speak to you directly and to a lot of other women, you know, but as a way of saying, thank you for responding. Maybe God had to tell you twice. You know, so all of us, you know, sometimes it's good to have a healthy sense of doubt when these things, because they could seem so out of the ordinary, but as a way of saying, thank you for responding. Thank you for praying for me.
Yeah. Sometimes when God asks us to do something, it's not easy. But yes, it was consoling to see that, that documentary, because you're right. It is kind of like saying, hey, this was the real me, you know? And I think, you know, her being, when she was alive, probably when she was, you know, in that glamour and that fame, she's probably trying to hide all those wounds. And it's kind of as if everything just kind of came out. Like I said, I feel that really it is a grace from God. And I think it is an act of reparation for her soul. And I think it kind of, you know, everybody can see her humanity. Everybody can see the truth about her. But I do think it is kind of like a wall that's been torn down to break down that idolization that the whole world has on Marilyn Monroe. I think this kind of shifted things, you know, on her image, which is a good thing, I think.
And so if you were to see into her heart, what do you think she would want to speak to? Like, I guess if there was something that she would want to teach people, or maybe young women out there need to hear, or other people that might get sucked into idolizing others or seeing that life is all glamorous, or what would she want to tell us?
I kind of feel like she would want to tell us that she's not the only one suffering what she suffered. Like you said, it was very painful to see what she went through Hollywood. I believe that this is happening to many actresses today. And I believe it's happening to a lot of youth. You know, just the emptiness and lies of the vanities of the world. I think this documentary gives that message as well, but I think that that's her message. You know, that it's an emptiness. You know, that whole lifestyle. And I believe that a lot of young girls are going through the same thing that she went through.
Yeah. When you see that documentary, you see that, that type of lifestyle, it's just, I mean, it's the opposite of Jesus behind me. It's merciless. If you lose a little beauty, you're no longer popular, you're no longer getting jobs. I was reading about how she was struggling to get work towards the end of her life, and so many other people that kind of go through that same thing. And it's almost like the opposite of everything that we learn about the Father's love for us, that it's always there, that it doesn't matter how we look or who we are, how rich we are. He loves us intensely, forgiving beyond end, providing in so many ways, simple. It's everything that the Father isn't. I mean, it seems like it is, you know, this kind of light that you want to go towards, but it leads you, I mean, it led her to exactly where you saw her. And if you think about 15 years ago, I think she died in 62, you know, so I mean, I'm not good with the math, but that's a lot of years afterwards, you know, and who knows if she had gone up at all from wherever she was, however many years ago, 40 or more years that she died, you know, I mean, that's just, yeah, something to think about.
And I think today, with social media and, you know, just, it's very hard to be a teen today. And, you know, they're just bombarded all day on their phones. They're in a constant battle, you know, with lies and all these, you know, sexual messages. And they're just constantly battling, I think, to try, you know, they're just trying to feel loved, desired, and they want approval. And I think that, you know, when I saw that vision and that dream, you know, a lot of women look for love in the wrong places. They want to feel loved, desired, and seen. You know, they don't feel seen. I think, you know, everybody saw Marilyn, but she was really never seen.
Yeah.
And you know, Jesus is always there, but a lot of us, you know, a lot of women can't see. That's the man that they're truly looking for in their heart, and they're just falling into these lies. And It's really sad what's going on with the new generation right now. I do conferences worldwide, and I speak to thousands of youth. And I mean, they're so wounded, and it's very, very hard for them to live a life of purity. It's very hard for them to even know what truth is. I mean, they're being lied to at school. They're indoctrinated right now in school, and they're just coming from broken families. Very rare to see a marriage sustained today, now in age, you know? There's a lot of kids that are wounded by a mama wound or a dada wound, just like Marilyn was.
Yeah.
And so we got to pray for our youth. We got to pray for our new generation. And, you know, if she were alive today, I think she would probably give this message, you know, that vanity and fame, it's all emptiness. You know, that she was looking love in the wrong places, and it's really not worth it. When you look at her life, you know, she suffered for her whole life from, you know, the youth until she died. And I would say right now, if God gave her a chance to come out of purgatory and give us a message, it would be that.
Yeah, and I think it's a message that we need to hear. Sometimes I'll think of maybe stars that I loved when I was little, and I'll think to myself, wow, well, what an honor would it be if I could be the person that prayed them out of purgatory or something like that, or whoever it would be, you know, all the different people, I'll think of that. So I think it'll be awesome, you know, God willing, we get to heaven. I want to go see Marilyn. Was it Patricia's prayers? Like, who was it? You know, because we'll kind of know those types of things. Sort of asking a little bit about purgatory, what is it like for you to share about this? Because I know that a lot of what you talk about, and sometimes, like I know, for instance, in YouTube, you sort of stick to a niche, you know? So for instance, my videos, purgatory. So a lot of the things you talk about are pro-life things. Is it scary to branch out and talk about these other things that maybe some people are like, oh, that's only for the mystics or only for someone who's dead and wrote a book, but like people that are living can't have these experiences or it's weird if you do?
At the beginning, it was. I got to the point where, okay, if God wants me to do something, I'm going to do it. I think it's more important to be obedient to God and to do what you are told than to care what others might think. You know, I had a problem with, you know, people pleasing and getting people's approval. But as a pro-life speaker, God, he kind of equips you. As a pro-life speaker, I get, you know, people at conferences yelling at me and talking and comments and you know, when you defend life, but I kind of feel
you get a lot of death thrown at you.
Oh yeah. I get stones and tomatoes thrown at me. Right. But I kind of feel that in sense, and we've talked about this, Alvaro, that the, you know, the unborn, we know they don't have a voice, they're voiceless, but the purgatory right now, they don't have a voice. I mean, they seriously are just depending on us. They're pretty much, they can't do any merits for themselves. They can't really defend themselves or pray for themselves, right? So it's kind of the same concept, I believe. You know, the unborn, they can't defend themselves. They can't fight. We can't hear their cries. And it's the same with the souls in purgatory. They're completely vulnerable, and they depend on us for help.
Yeah.
And so, you know, probably I have a great devotion and a passion to them as well.
And I'm sure you think of, okay, if I keep my mouth shut, then maybe child might be aborted. Likewise, if I don't talk about this and maybe people are going to think I'm strange for saying it, then Marilyn and other people like her will spend one more second, one more minute, one more hour in that flame that I saw. And do I really want to be responsible for that? And I'm sure sometimes you think about it like, oh my gosh, almost with maybe a sense of holy anxiety, let's get them out.
And I think something very misleading, and I don't know about the Anglo culture, but I can tell you in the Hispanic culture, my parents are from Mexico, and anyhow, but when you attend a funeral, you know, all of a sudden the person becomes a saint, right? Yeah. At the funeral. And you hear comments, you know, when people are embracing each other and people saying, oh, well, you know, he or she found peace. Oh, thank God. Now they're an angel in heaven.
Yeah. Or they're no longer suffering.
They're no longer suffering. And I,
how do you know? How do they know? How do they know?
Yes, exactly.
You know?
So can you imagine, you know, going to a funeral and, you know, or, it, you know, and I read in one of Maria Sima's book that God permits you to kind of attend your own funeral when you pass. Can you imagine attending your own funeral, right? And you need prayers, you're in purgatory, and everybody around is just assuming that you're in heaven and that you're in peace and that you're in a better place. How frustrating is that? That you need help to get out, right? I mean, I'm sure that mass gives you graces, but that's kind of the concept we have. Oh, you know, my grandma just passed away. Well, God bless her. She's up there like an angel resting in peace. And they might be burning somewhere in purgatory. We just don't know, right? And so we can't assume that. We have to keep praying for our loved ones, our family members, and people, because they need our help.
I was thinking about some of these things before the interview, that we need to make purgatory real, that real people are there, and it could be real for you. You could one day see yourself and think, I'm there. But, you know, if we start now having that devotion, praying for them specifically for all types of people, family members, as well as anyone and everyone that God inspires us, then that's us helping them. But at the end of the day, we really are helping ourselves. I think of so many stories where it'll talk about the person that didn't pray for anyone or forgot to pray for people. And then God in his justice allowed that to be the punishment when they went to purgatory, that they would just be forgotten because they never did it. And then vice versa, you know, that if they were someone who, you know, that's why sometimes I think I need to keep doing this purgatory kind of YouTube channel, because that's how I'm going to have people pray for me, because who knows where I'll be in purgatory. That as much as we do for them, God will grace people after we die to do for us. You know, right. It's the best way to guarantee it.
And a good, like, I like to, during the mass, usually when it's the moment of consecration, I like to envision, that's probably what I want to say. I like to envision the saints behind the priest, right? Our Blessed Mother near the priest, and then the souls in purgatory at that very moment. That is something that we can do also, is during mass, is just kind of envision the whole, you know, the triumphant army, and we're the militant, right? And then the purgator, because that's when heaven and earth unite. But it's just good to envision also at that moment, hey, you know what? The souls need our prayers at this very moment. It's the most powerful moment that we witness. It's a mystical moment, right? Because we talk about mystical experiences. Well, we all have a mystical experience when we go to mass, we encounter God in the Eucharist, but we can also envision, which helps me envision the souls there, just pleading for our prayers during that moment of consecration. That is very powerful as well. But like I said, we're one body, we're all united, and we need to pray for each other.
Amen. Well, Patricia, I think there's more that we're going to be exploring. If God allows, this hopefully will not be the last time that we meet, that you can share on this channel some of these different and particular experiences. And I think probably one of the fruits, along with helping people believe, but will be other people wanting to share. Because I think this is maybe more common than we realize. And those people will be able to share, which is evangelizing. It's convincing others of this reality that's there. I mean, maybe other people that have had experiences and didn't know what it was and were wondering, you know, what was that? And we could kind of, like St. Paul when he's evangelizing to those people, I'm going to tell you the God that you're praying to. I'm going to tell you his name. It's Jesus. We're going to tell those people what purgatory is and make it real for the world.
Right. I hope people share their experiences. And we just need to remember not to be scared of the souls that are in purgatory. category, that they're holy. You know, they have, right. I'm sure that they have more knowledge than we do. And they are closer to God than we are. So not to be scared of them. I know that maybe some people, I've met some people that have had dreams of souls or family members that have passed and, yeah. And they've dreamt of these souls in purgatory and they were scared of it, but these souls are holy. And so we not need not to fear, not even fear of purgatory or ourselves going there. Yeah. I know that Padre Pio once said that most likely every soul passes through purgatory when they pass. And so we most likely will be there. But I hope that people share more of their experiences as well on your show, Alvaro. I hope this helps and encourages people too to keep praying for them and to offer more sacrifices for them as well.
Amen. Well, how about we finish giving glory to God with the prayer from the church. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, never shall be, world without end. Amen. Thank you for everyone who joined us in watching this video, and I will see you in the next one.